Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live on the air for Falcon Zone. I am your host, Jeremy York, joined once again by Mr. Reggie Walker. How you doing today, Reggie? And we'll have to get his microphone plugged in. Reggie,
hey,
are you with us?
Jeremy, how you doing?
There you are. Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Enjoying this Atlanta weather here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you can't enjoy the Atlanta weather, I don't know what weather you can enjoy.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of things have happened here in Falcon Zone, and especially with the organization. You know,
right.
Today we got a lot of things lined up, a lot of news and notes. They broke ground on the new stadium. They've signed a lot of the draft picks. And
right.
Towards the end, we'll kind of go over a few of these picks and what they could actually do this year.
Right, right. Before we get into that, I'd be remiss to if you don't mind, I would like to start with the unfortunate tragedy for one of our own, Roddy White. His brother, for those who don't know, his brother, 21 years old, Tyrone, was unfortunately killed earlier this week at a nightclub. This was apparently the brother that lived with him for the majority of the earlier years. During his time here in Atlanta, my understanding is that they have actually identified and arrested a young man who unfortunately was the brother of the owner of that nightclub that Tyrone was killed at. So we definitely want to send our condolences out to Roddy White and his family.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was just a terrible – it's a tragedy when any kind of loss is like that, but especially Roddy, who is – such a face of this team and such a beloved Atlanta figure. To when I heard this story, you just want to reach out to him and just give him as much support as possible.
Right, right. I read some interesting comments with Mike Smith. Apparently, he had gone into some sort of a conclusion, as it would be understood that he would. But his initial seclusion was with his teammates, and I thought that was great to hear. That we actually have a family fostered in the Falcon environment, so I was glad to hear that. So, again, thoughts and prayers out to Roddy and his family.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, he is such an integral part of not just the Falcons but the Atlanta landscape that we just want to reach out and let you know we're behind you, Roddy. And if you need anything, you got the whole city of Atlanta and probably state of Georgia and Falcon Nation behind you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Absolutely. So
go ahead,
Jeremy. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
With that being said, like you mentioned before earlier, there's quite a bit of news going on, probably dominated by the fact that there was the groundbreaking for our beautiful new stadium that we will be opening our season in 2017. I didn't get a chance to get down to the groundbreaking. But I did read some of the commentary on some of the newscasts, and Roger Goodell was there, as well as some other NFL officials, and it's going to be a spectacular sight, man. I can't wait to start seeing it come up.
Oh, absolutely. We may have to, get in the end zone vehicle and go take a field trip one day to go check it out. But the thing that I thought the most interesting is this unveiling happened to be within – at least a day, if not probably mere hours, from all the NFL owners being in Atlanta for the NFL meetings and the spring meetings. It was real interesting that Arthur chose this particular moment when all the other owners were here for him to unveil this.
Well, absolutely. And again, Arthur Blank's a very, very smart individual, obviously given his success with Home Depot and some of his other ventures. And I think, again, that was that ploy, as I mentioned on the end zone a little earlier. I think that was his card on the table. Hey, guys, we have this spectacular building. We need a Super Bowl or two. So I think that was definitely his moment to shine and get on the soapbox about his shiny new toy that he's building.
Oh, absolutely. And that is his way of saying we need to be in the rotation, you know. And it really did help, as you mentioned, it really helped that Minnesota was given the nod for the 2018 season, to where he's like, okay, Well, if you're going to go to a brand new stadium like that with these new facilities like you did last year in the New Jersey area, he's like, you know, I got this brand new place going. It'd be a great home for one of these.
Absolutely, and I think one of the other things, and a lot of people, you know, regardless of whatever side of the coin you're on, because I've heard just as many detractors about the new stadium as I've heard supporters, people have to understand that this is not only for the Falcons, this is also for this new soccer team that he has now landed in Atlanta. This is also is going to be pivotal in the new NCAA football scenario where now you're going to a playoff system, and I think you're probably going to land quite a bit of the SEC tournaments, if not all of them, with this stadium as well.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely going to help. And joining us at this time to also weigh in on the new stadium and everything from End Zone, Coach Hill. Coach Hill, what do you say about this Arthur's new toy?
Well, it's going to be quite interesting how the city embraces this behemoth of a stadium that's being built. And also the strategy behind it. Mr. Blank is a very smart and intelligent businessman. I'm sure that prior to going with the first at one time, which was an idea, now that's going into reality in this stadium, that he had some venues and some tenants set up to most definitely bring in the revenue that it's going to take to support this stadium all year round.
Right, and one of the things to Coach Hill's point that I've been actually pondering since this stadium was announced, and we've talked about this off air, has been the tremendous amount of pressure, I think, on the GM, on the coach, and on the team to win. I mean, there's some talk, even as a season ticket holder myself, there's some talk about PSLs or personal seat licenses, which fans would now incur some extra fees. And to fill a $1 billion stadium and recoup your ROI on this thing, you can't be 4-12 and fill a $1 billion stadium. So it's going to be interesting to see how long this coaching staff and the general manager are given to become very successful to the point where, you know, the fan base is going to get rabid about buying season tickets.
Yeah, absolutely. This will help build the Atlanta landscape. I think in an even more positive way than Mr. Blank has done up to this moment. But another way he's trying to build the culture this way is signing all these draft picks. I believe they've signed almost all of them, if not all of them, with Jake Matthews and Rashid Hageman being added again today. You know, signing these guys so early, what is this message he's trying to send with this?
Well, I think what's interesting is that this seems to be the trend not only with Atlanta but across the league. I believe Chicago signed their draft picks first, and they signed every last one of them within a matter of days after the draft. But with this particular one and with the Falcons, I think Devontae Freeman, the third-round pick, is the only one that hasn't been signed to date. But what that does say is, hey, get on board this train because we're reshaping the new Atlanta Falcons and a changed Atlanta Falcons. I'm excited about our draft picks, especially after kind of reading some of the commentary behind some of these guys and what they've already shown just in the little time that we've had, you know, them on the field. But I think this says, hey, you are now a part of an organization that is about business. We're going to give you what you ask for, but you better produce. And in talking with Coach Hill on some other conversations just about Mr. Blank in general, that seems to be his nature. I will give you what you want, but you better give me what I want. And I love an owner like that, actually. Get the job done.
Oh, yeah. And some of the guys they've signed, I mean, you know, we'll preview some of them here in a minute anyway. But especially locking up Jake Matthews, even though the terms haven't really been said yet, what's kind of expected and what I'm hearing is 4 years, $16.4 million, 10.2 of it guaranteed. I'm pretty happy with that as far as a rookie contract. That way, if it doesn't pan out, you're only on the hook for $4 million a year with this guy, but it's going to work out.
Absolutely. I mean, he comes from good stock, and we talked about that last week. He comes from good stock. I certainly expect for this guy to be good. The other good thing about that contract, it is definitely cap-friendly, as most of Atlanta's contracts have been. I commend Rich McKay for handling those contracts the way that he has because it gives Atlanta flexibility going forward in the future. But it also gives Atlanta that fifth-year option on Mr. Matthews, just in case he does become the stud that everybody thinks he's going to become.
Yeah, exactly. So, and like I said, we'll kind of jump into him now, kind of previewing some of these guys, kind of the way things are shaping up. It seems like Ricardo Allen, who is not only just super excited to be a part of the Falcons organization, but he's been quoted as saying that he feels like there's a place for him, or he's going to compete for a place on special teams, on the nickel package, the dime, substitute packages. He thinks he can play a little safety. He really thinks that he can be the Swiss Army knife of this defense, which, you know, would be super welcome in a defense that's supposed to be as unpredictable and flexible as Mike Smith has said it is.
Right. I think that was the theme, and that seems to be the theme of all of the picks that Atlanta has had. Let's get us a stout up front, you know, defensive front, and then we're going to have these hybrid-type players like Mr. Allen and even Mr. Hageman in a lot of cases that these guys can just fly over the field. I think we're finally getting to a defense, in my opinion, that I've wanted to see with Atlanta for quite some time, and that speed kills. I mean, if nothing else, you get some guys up front and you give guys like Ricardo Allen the opportunity to maybe get in some of these nickel packages, and you're going to force teams to really run the ball. I mean, because throwing deep is not going to be an option with a team like this, given the time and given their ability to kind of get the games under their belt. So I'm excited about Mr. Allen. The guys that stood out the most or seemed to stand out the most this week were Tyler Starr, the seventh-round pick, and Prince Shimbo. There was a lot of jabber about Mr. Starr and how he came in and impressed the coaching staff just by his ability to rush off of the end. And he actually shifted himself to a four-point stance during minicamp and found out that there was some more explosiveness that he was able to get. So I think he's the big surprise going forward, as well as Mr. Shimbo. So it sounds like this force plate testing and even Mike Smith's ability to coach in the Senior Bowl actually proved to be very advantageous for some of the draft picks that we picked up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And with Tyler Starr, he was picked 255 out of 256 this year. So, I mean, he had a lot to prove, and he could kind of have a chip on his shoulder. But there's the reason that they took him, in my opinion, is not just because of what he could be, but they had to take him because somebody else was going to offer him a contract if not. But, yeah, this kid can do a three-point stance. He can put his hand in the dirt. He can put both hands in the dirt for the four-point, which is rare in the NFL nowadays for any defender to really have both hands down. But he can stand up, and he's just one of those kids that the motor never stops. It's all one speed, and that is just all out, which is a great thing to have coming off the defensive line.
Right. Some of the conversations that I heard about him in specific was he was being compared to Patrick Kearney from the 98 days, where that kid that just does not stop. And it's going to be interesting for guys like Osi Umenyiora and even Corey Bierman, who was also one of those guys when he was first drafted.
Right.
It's going to be interesting to see what type of pressure this is going to put on them in training camp to perform, especially with the fact that they're carrying those high contracts. And again, the NFL is always not for long. So it's going to be real interesting to see how those guys perform, knowing that they've got these guys on their heels now.
Yeah, definitely so. And
I'd like to chime in if you don't mind, Jeremy.
Okay, go ahead.
Going back, and thank you again for allowing me to join you guys' show. Let's talk about Mr. Starr quickly from a coach's perspective. Often you hear, more often than not, the politics of football, the politics of professional sports. Here it is, a young man who comes from South Dakota. Out of all the schools in the world you could have picked, a player of this magnitude, a player of this ability, this proves that although you might say politics, and it does, because in a sense it is professional sports, and in anything you're dealing with professionalism, you're going to deal with some form of politics. But this proves that there is a process that's in place that gives every player an equal opportunity if you prove yourself. So why not another kid from Auburn, or why not another kid from Alabama, or another Division I kid from Washington? He's from South Dakota, if you get what I'm saying with this. But it proves that he is gone in. I tell all players when I'm coaching them, when we're in training camp, moving on into the season, when preparation meets opportunity, it is bound for success. There's a quote I took from Johnny Cochran, and I use it often. So he's prepared himself. It's, again, a kid that did not go against a lot of big talent out there. But now that he's gotten his opportunity, he prepared himself with his college years. And now that he's in the NFL, he is going to make good on this. Put a star beside that kid's name. Being that he can go in the 4-point, and I'm a defensive coordinator, and can come off the edge like that, goal line, when you try to throw that tall sweep and come off the edge right there, he is going to be a menace. Trust me, if he gets into the game and can come off in the 4-point with that type of explosion, when you go to try to toss wide or short, depending on where you put him, you're just not going to get that edge, and I can promise you that. So it's going to be, you know, it's kudos for the Falcons staff, kudos for Coach Smith to be able to see this young man in the Senior Bowl, and just, you hear me saying this early, look out for that young man, Mr. Starr.
Yeah, and to your point, Coach Hill, that's one of the things that I'm really enjoying about the NFL in particular, is that gone are those days that you know that teams are expecting for draft picks to come out of the big schools. I mean, look at Khalil Mack, who came out of Buffalo and went in the top five. I mean, that definitely suggests that there is a tremendous amount of parity across the league, and now these players, like you say, can go to these Division One, you know, smaller Division One schools or these Division Two schools, and even some cases where if they prove themselves, they can get a shot as well. They're not under the pressure of having to sign with some of these big NCAA schools or these big Division One schools to get their shot. So I think that's a great thing for the league.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the other side of the break, we'll be talking about how the running back strategy for the Falcons will be changing this year. We'll also hit how the rookies will have a tougher time and why they're having a tougher time. And another defensive tackle is going to be swapping over to offensive guard this year. Who is it? We'll let you know on the other side of the break.
Hi, Jeremy the Impact York here from Mellow Mushroom. Are you looking for a great family-friendly restaurant with food that is great and healthy? Drop by the Mellow Mushroom. They use the freshest ingredients to make everything on their amazing menu. Pizzas, calzones, salads, and more, plus daily drink specials. Go to mellowmushroom.com to find the location nearest you. Jeremy the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
And we're back here on Falcon Zone. Make sure to support our sponsors and everything. They appreciate it and we appreciate it. But as I said right before the break, the running back strategy for the Falcons will actually change quite a bit from what the fans are used to. And in that, I mean, you had Jason Snelling that retired, and that left a big hole in the running back core. I mean, they have Antoine Smith, who we're all big fans of, Devontae Freeman that they drafted, but they're going to have to find that guy that's good at pass catching, blocking, running inside, and running outside, something that Steven Jackson hasn't quite gotten back on the track with yet.
Right, and again, I think this is going to come down to your offensive line play being able to open up those holes, but more importantly now, Atlanta is shifting again to that speed back, that guy with that explosive ability to hit the hole hard. One of the interesting articles that I read today spoke about some players that were kind of being put on the bubble, if you will, and number two on that list was Jacquizz Rodgers, and that he has not necessarily shown that he's that guy that can pass block as well as catch out of the backfield, and he's not necessarily that explosive guy. He's going to get you a few yards here and there, but I think with Devontae Freeman as well as with Antoine Smith, notice is going to be served, even to guys like Steven Jackson, again, who's carrying these big contracts. If he's not able to hit that hole and do what he's been brought here to do, I think you're going to see him get replaced real quickly in the season.
You know, from a coaching perspective, Coach Hill, how how difficult is it to kind of either try to replace a guy like what Jason Snelling brought to the table or to just flip over to a different strategy in order to utilize the talent you do have?
Well, I think the Falcons have had an opportunity over the last 2 years to look at their offensive layout. And, again, that's what personnel is designed for. It's designed to look at these players. There is no off-season for the coaching staff, mind you. Once the season is over, you're going back through all of this film. You're looking at all of the grades that you have given these players. You looked at how you really evaluated them, and now you're realistically looking at the tangibles of what they bring to the team in the form of a stock as a player. So, again, I think that moving forward, Atlanta is doing something that has not been done in Atlanta in a long time. It is an open-door policy now. There is no safe position, if you will. I think that the coaching staff is looking. They're not going to just play the money this year. I think that's the best term I want to use for them. They're not just interested in paying the money. That's why Mr. McKay has been so meticulous and very methodical in how these contracts have been set up, because if you do that for them this year inside of the Falcons organization, they're going to have cap space money and can move you fast. So now you have to come in with the mentality of holding on to your job, because they have done a great job with the draft. They've done a great job with the acquisition of free agents and even switching defensive players over to the offensive side, which they're looking at some of that secret recipe that the New England Patriots have brought to the NFL. So now I think it's just it's game on, as I like to say, with a lot of these players. I mean, at this point, you just don't have a safe place. And even those two guys that moved over to the offensive side of the ball begin to realize with this 3-4 defense and some of the things that Coach Nolan is going to do with it, that flexibility, their defense is going to be like water. It's going to ebb and flow. So now they're realizing, hey, the writing's on the wall. Doesn't look like I might make this cut. I can't play linebacker because I've always been a traditional defensive lineman. They're trying to even find places for themselves to play.
Right, and as we mentioned last week, Stansley Mapanga is swapping from defensive tackle over to offensive line, but it was added again this week that Adam Replogle, who played defensive tackle last year, he was on the practice squad for most of the year, he dressed for the final game, he's swapping from defensive tackle over to offensive guard, which is interesting because for the most part, everybody thought the Falcons only had problems with their tackles. What kind of depth could this add to the offensive guard position?
Well, this definitely adds a tremendous amount of depth to that offensive line. I think getting our offensive line decimated last year by injuries, as well as some of the performances from some of those guys, actually warranted a lot of these moves. And going back to Coach Hill's point, I think now you're starting to see that DNA that was brought over to Atlanta with Thomas Dimitroff coming out of that New England organization, where these guys are drafting football players, athletes, guys that can fill any role, and this is where, again, Atlanta is going to become a dangerous team over time. I don't know if you'll see it right away, so some of us fans are going to have to be patient. But I think that over time, again, I like the philosophy. I like where they're going with this, because now you're giving guys an opportunity to really show their value to the team as a whole. And again, your position is not secured. You have to come out and perform. So I like that. I like those moves. I like the fact that these guys were even willing to give up the fact that, hey, I've been a defensive tackle. This is what I've been known as. I just want to be a part of this organization. And there was a time when Atlanta fans could not, you know, we couldn't say that about the Falcons. We were perennial losers. So to see that happening now is a great thing from a fan perspective.
And, you know, also as a personnel and coaching your extensive background, Coach Hill, how easy or how tough would it be to swap from, you know, a defensive tackle to an offensive guard?
Well, believe it or not, it's not that hard at all. And the reason being is that because they just played on the opposite side of the ball, one of the things that you have as a luxury when you have a player switch over like that is what we like to use the term, he has no trash in him. So he doesn't think he can play the position, and whatever you decide, now I'm going to switch the term to download into this particular player, that's exactly what they're going to do. So their learning curve, although it seems like it's broad, it really isn't, because when they flip on the opposite side of the ball, that's what we do in arena, and used to do back in the days of arena, having the Iron Man, if you will, is that they now can see what mistakes or what weaknesses that the other, their opponent on the other side of the ball may have. So now they refine those skills and they say, okay, now this is how I would block myself if I was rushing. So now these two guys going over, when you're talking about the run game, because they're always used to running forward anyway and just kind of crashing pockets, these guys are going to be very, very nasty in the run game. I can promise you some fillers are going to get hurt and some linebackers are going to be shot come training camp.
Yeah, definitely so. And quickly, as we're in the last couple minutes here, the last thing we really wanted to bring to everybody's attention is there's kind of the story out now that the rookies may have a tougher time this year. And the reason they're saying that they could have a tougher time is based off the new NFL schedule where, you know, the draft was moved back, it was moved back 2 weeks, an extra 2 weeks for teams to prepare on who to draft. It also limits the time you can have the rookies on a field and such things like that with the CBA agreement. Is that extra 2 weeks going to really matter to some of these guys?
Well, I personally don't think in most cases it will matter as much, considering most of these rookies aren't going to be expected to come out and play day one. I mean, obviously some of the guys like Clowney and Mack and Matthews, who were drafted early and expected to come out and perform from day one, it may or may not affect their play. But again, these guys are considered the cream of the crop, so they should be ready to play anyway. But for some of these other draft picks, these lower draft picks, I don't think on most teams they're going to be expected to come out and play. So I from a fan's perspective, I don't see where that should be much of an issue. But I'll allow Coach Hill to speak on that point.
Right. I don't think it's going to be much of an issue. I think that this is where you take that time. That's why you draft particular players, because in college they play either in an identical system, a hybrid system, or a similar system to what you already have now. So the learning curve is not going to be that big of a thing. Once you get players in, if you have to water a few things down for that player, that's because the NFL is such a specialized game. You're looking for specialized individuals and athletes that you bring together to form those units and those teams. So, again, the 2 weeks I think might have helped more so than anything else, because a lot of these players have played extended, games of over the course of their college careers. So with that being the case, I think maybe the 2 weeks might have helped with a guy that might have just had something nagging him now that's healthier at this point going into training camp. So I don't think the 2 weeks hurts him at all. I think it gives him an opportunity to heal, to rest, to learn. You spoke of the CBA and the time that you can limit a rookie action on the field. But what people feel is that what you can't do on the field, you can do in a classroom. So, again, you're getting them mentally sharp. They're watching this film. They're repping all of these plays mentally. So at the end of the day, when they get ready to go out, they can now just perform what they've learned in the classroom.
Right. And real quick, as we got a couple minutes left here, I want to try to get to this phone call real quick. Hello, you're in the Falcon Zone. Who am I speaking with?
This is Billy, your old co-host. Jeremy?
Hello?
Jeremy?
Yeah.
Still your old co-host. How are you?
Pretty good. How about you?
Not bad. Really, really enjoying your show, and was just kind of curious with Coach Hill on, aside from maybe Jake Matthews and Rashid Hagan, who he thinks out of the rookie class that we've got coming in might actually see a lot of playing time this year.
I'm sorry, was the question addressed to me, dear? I'm sorry, I could barely hear him, so you'd have to just recap his question for me, please.
Yeah, real quickly, we got about a minute left, but Billy wanted to know, besides Hagman and Jake Matthews, what other draft pick has a chance for significant playing time this year?
I think it will be the defensive back out of Wisconsin. I think this young man most definitely will be able to do well. I think French Shimbo is going to play well. So I think not only is it one player, but I think it's two players. I think we'll get an opportunity to most definitely put their skill set to play quite quick with the Atlanta Falcons. In my opinion, from a coach's perspective, those are the other two guys I see give them significant playing time in the scheme as far as third down situations, but more importantly, I would see it most definitely in special teams.
Well, Billy, we appreciate you calling in. We are right up against the end here. I want to thank my co-host, Reggie Walker, and, of course, Coach Hill for tuning in with us this week, and we'll see you guys next week.